Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tony Luca. Welcome.
He's back.
He is back.
What's up, y'all?
Not much, man. So nice to finally get you back on.
Yeah, it's been a minute, you know, and I think we've had a boat in between last time I saw you, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm so stoked that you guys are joining forces with Rock by the Sea and coming down to represent. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, you know, it is always a pleasure to see a group of artists who are so talented come together to put their own personal ambitions aside just to help raise money for pediatric cancer and to carve time out of their schedule, which is a huge part of some artists living, and if not all of them. And it says a lot, and we're so blessed that to be a part of it, man.
Yeah, I tell you, it's you know, Beth and Steve Everett, you know, they just make it so easy for everyone. And it's always just been such a wonderful invite to get, and a really cool family to be a part of. And it's probably one of the most, you know, fun ways to be a part of a great cause. Like you said, you know, it's so cool.
Yeah. As we were just chatting with you beforehand, you've been busy visiting the Rock Boat, Rock by the Sea family. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's just like a family reunion for you down there.
It is, man. You know, I was looking at the roster just the other day, and I was like chuckling. Or it wasn't the roster. It was the schedule, the performance schedule.
Yep.
Steve sent me that, and I was looking at it, oh my God. Oh my God. I feel super blessed, you know, as like a long time member of both the Rock Boat and Rock by the Sea communities, that I, you know, by now I should know just about everybody on the bill, you know? And it's great, because it's some of my favorite artists, some of my, you know, favorite people and bands that I love and artists that I just love to support. It's definitely like, you know, you rarely see a show at Rock by the Sea that all or a lot of the other artists aren't attending. You know, and that's what I really dig. You know, you see that a lot on the Rock Boat as well, but for some Rock by the Sea, it's just like when you're in the party, you're there. You're just, you know, there's no like private artist space. I mean, you know, the accommodations are on the other side of the parking lot. But so if you got to get away, you can get away. But otherwise, it's just like really being a part of a family, big ass family reunion. You know, it's so cool.
Yeah, I've been doing some recon of the property and of the Lazy River specifically, and I've been sending satellite images to Mark and Eamon, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I was like, look how close it is. I was showing my nieces and nephews as well, and I'm just like, they're like, can we come? And I was like, absolutely not.
And then how it's like lit up, and I think you were pretty impressed with how it's lit up at night too.
Yeah,
it does look pretty cool.
Super,
yeah, we got in the Lazy River a couple times last year, and it was but it was a couple years ago now that I played it. But I mean, it was, you know, I think the year I went, it was their first year at Okaloosa Island, and it just was like it felt like we had been doing it there forever. It felt like they designed this place for us. You know, it really was just so cool, like, because the bar venue, or you know, the bar stage is quite a bit bigger than the indoors ever was at Harry A's, you know. And so Harry A's was like, if you were in there, you were just packed in, whereas now this is like a nice big room, and then they've got like this big garage door that flies up in between the rooms, you know, so obviously, if someone's performing inside while someone's outside, they got to close the door. But as soon as one or the other finishes, the garage door flies up and people just flow through. I think the coolest thing I saw that year was the owners. They were side stage like most of all of the acts. They were just so getting drunk on all of the talent, just being like, what the hell is this? And, you know, just to see this entire community of artists just all sitting in with each other and hanging out and cheering each other on and hugging each other and jamming together. And they were really stoked to have us. And you could feel that and you could tell. And it just, then you just, my God, game on, party on.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, what we've heard, the amount that they're giving back, something like 20% of the proceeds there on all the drinks go back to the kids. Yeah. So that's why they have the shirts out drinking for the kids this year.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, you know. And it's always been, yeah, I'm drinking for the kids. And it's like, okay, I could drink for the kids. And yeah, that's nothing to shake a stick out of. That's a lot of money when you see how much fucking drinking goes on this thing. You know?
It's going to be, I was looking at the menu today.
Okay.
Of course you were.
And the food looks great. Not going to lie.
It is.
There's some favorites I found.
It's great. It's great, man, for sure.
I thought you meant the bar menu, Chris.
You know, I couldn't, I figured that they probably had, on their menu, they didn't have the drinks because I'm assuming they're just your standard and I'm sure they'll have some special cocktails. But, you know, I would imagine it's just regular. Yeah, but yeah, I was pretty excited.
Chris doesn't get too picky in that regard.
Yeah, no. Who should?
That would
I mean,
cool
clearly I'm a light beer drinker, so
that would be cool to have like artist named cocktails.
Oh,
what would be in a Tony Luca? Ooh.
Well, up until recently, it would just be like Casamigos on the rocks, you know. But I think I kind of like burned out on the tequila last year. I just drank a little. I'm not bragging. It's not a humble brag at all. But, you know, but I
gave a lot to the kids.
I gave a lot to the kids. No, I don't mean like at Rock by the Sea. I just mean like last year on tour. I really, you know, there was never any shortage of tequila. But I, I don't know. I just was getting a little much. And so like during the winter, my wife and I kind of got into old fashions. And so now I've got a mean old fashioned up my sleeve and I'm on the bus, you know, most nights I'm in there making cocktails for everybody. And that's a little like more, it feels a little more gentlemanly, you know, like you got to measure out the right, you got to make your ratios, right?
It's a pretty regal drink.
Yeah. So yeah. And so you know, a couple of those and you're good. So, I don't know. It might be a variation on an old fashioned, like maybe, you know, a particular bourbon with, instead of simple syrup, I've been using agave nectar, which is a cool alternative.
Fancy.
Yeah, you know, and there's no shortage of like really awesome craft bitters out there these days. And I've had some cool ones here and there that would be like, oh yeah, that might be cool. But like you said, it's every time I see a variation on an old fashioned in a restaurant, I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's hard to fuck with the classic. So
very true.
Yeah. I might have the audacity though, come Rock by the Sea to come up with one that had a special something that everyone enjoyed.
Do you, you know, as an artist, do you find it different? And this just came to me. Do you find it different to perform and sing more challenging when you're near a body of water that's connected with sand than inside of an auditorium or arena or even on the boat? Like is that like a thing?
I don't know, man. There's something about beach destination events.
Yeah.
And I've been doing them for a long time, you know, prior to Rock by the Sea. You know, obviously Pat McGee's Down the Hatch is one of my all-time favorite festivals, like not just as an artist, but as a festival goer. I think Down the Hatch is, he's really put together a kick-ass handful of days. But like back in the day, we used to do, we started as part of the founding circle of artists that started Hotel Carolina, which we were doing out at the Isle of Palm. We did that for a lot of years before really taking the reins on the festival, and we started calling it Off the Record, which was the name of my production company for a lot of years. And so it was called Off the Record Festival, and that just became a lot of fun because we were the, you know, TFDI was the headlining band of that, and that was always pretty cool. But then kind of stepped away from that for a while. But yeah, the beach thing is pretty rad. It's, like I said, especially like Down the Hatch, we actually play a set with our feet in the sand. So you go down to you go down to the water, and they set up a PA out there, and everybody brings their chairs and umbrellas, and it's, they just make like an amphitheater on the beach in the Outer Banks, and it's just perfect, you know. I will say, like, getting a little more lofty with like the whole beach thing, per your question, is, you know, standing there, there's something so about artists, especially at festivals and stuff, you're always trying to like flex or, you know, remind everyone how awesome and important your music is, you know?
Right.
And there's something about standing on the beach with the freaking Atlantic Ocean at your back. That could just so easily at any second come and devour this entire scene, you and your silly songs too, you know, that it's just like, you know, it's very humbling and grounding and just, you know, unforgettable. It just makes for a really cool environment that, you know, is conducive to acoustic music, man. It's just, it's really special.
Well, I would love to hear Morning Sunrise on the beach. I'll tell you that much.
We've
had the opportunity to listen to some of these new tunes coming out. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got some gems.
I'm so grateful to hear that, man. And I yeah, it's been fun, like, passing it out to people in advance of it coming out. But, you know, knowing that, you know, you guys had it, it was always kind of cool. Like, I'm excited to get their take on it. But thanks, man. Yeah, I'm really excited about this one in a way that I haven't been before. And I think a lot of it is that it's I'm kind of detached from the results for the first time in a while. I think I've just, you know, been up that mountain so many times, just hopeful and trying everything I can, no stone unturned. And, you know, this time I'm just like, you know what? I just want the music out there. And people that know my name or follow me on whatever platforms, it's doesn't take much to find my music. And, you know, once it's out there and, you know, I'm going to go a little old school and reach out to all my artist friends and, you know, pass the record on to them as well and said, hey, take a listen to this. This is my new record. And let me know if you are into helping me promote something like this. And then I'll shoot you the link to do that. But in the meantime, just enjoy the record and just know that you're someone I value the opinion of. And you've been a part of my story. But yeah, man, I'm glad you guys are digging it. It's cool.
The new EP still available April 26th.
Yeah.
This is your fifth EP and 17th overall release. That's no easy feat. That's
no
congratulations.
Congrats
to
on that.
It's a lot of music, man.
A lot of great music.
Thank you.
Yes. You've been doing this for a while, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty wild, man. I was reminded of that this morning, actually, because, you know, Keaton and I, for a 4-hour drive through the mountains, you know, we're not talking about, you know, bullshit. it gets dense.
More stories.
You know, it gets dense. And, you know, because we've both seen and done most of it, if not all of it. And, you know, we've been talking recently more and more about perspective and how, because he, you know, he's, I don't say he's been holding my hand through the first year on the Brett Young tour, but he's definitely like enjoyed kind of being my, mentor. He just showed me the ropes and helped me get to know the lay of the land, but also like all, with that comes all the stories and all the things. But he and I have been doing a lot of piggybacking these Brett Young dates with our own private things and small club stuff. And so we've been spending a lot of time together in addition to our time on the road, which is so great. He and I have been, you know, probably each other's closest musical companion for almost 20 years now. And so it's a really unique relationship. But we've been talking about how we lose perspective and can kind of take for granted things that that don't just come to everyone the way they come to us. That don't just, we have a really unique perspective approach to our time and our talents and music and where we're at in this big arc of our careers and how we're both kind of, you know, detached from, slowly uncoupling from the social media game, because we're just in a position where it's not going to pay the bills if I can properly promote this EP to, you know, the fans out there. And that's just really nice. It's really nice to kind of get behind something and not feel that undue pressure that I know all of my friends, all of your friends, everybody that we all know, our mutual friends, I know we talk about this all the time, especially, you know, the older ones like me and Jay Nash and even Dan Rodriguez, you know. It's just when you see your friends making a real concerted effort on social media to promote their stuff, all you have is respect and applause for that effort, because you know what it takes to do that, stay on top of that and try to do it tastefully and gracefully and eloquently, humorously, all the things you got to do to be authentic anymore. This one just feels a little more unique. I mean, obviously, maybe you guys read the press release or the bio that might have gone out about this. Yep. I think I shared that with you. But, you know, I'm proud of this one for some other unique reasons. And having done the bulk of the work myself, you know, it was the first time I've ever mixed the project and tracked everything myself and trusted myself with all of that. So obviously, and we can get into all that as well, but I just, that's another bit of the wind in my sail right now, is that like, yeah, I did this and it's mine, man. It feels good.
Yeah. Now, you know, tracking it yourself, what can you know, while we're on it, can you walk us through that and how much experience had you had before doing it, if any?
Yeah, I mean, I have produced and co-produced all of my records, with the exception of a couple records there, where I just handed that all over to someone else. But I've enjoyed learning as I go, it got to a point where I was able to, I can kind of run a Pro Tools session and track and edit, and I know how to use Pro Tools pretty well. But it's always been more about the minutia of signal volume and gain and levels and compression and EQ and all the stuff that really fucking matters. I just have always shied away from that. Mathematics adjacent, and I just hated math. You know, I was going to be an architect. In eighth grade, I decided I was going to be an architect because I took a drafting class and I fucking loved it. My dad was a designer, and he, you know, showed me. I had drafting tools when I was in junior high, because I just loved it. Until the one day I went to drafting class and we weren't pulling out our instruments and pencils. He wheeled in a TV and played this little documentary about CAD design, which is, you know, computer assisted design. And this was like 1988, 89, you know? And I'm like, oh, fuck. I just got like nauseous as I'm watching this documentary in my drafting class, because I'm just like, I don't want to do math and computers. I don't want to be on a computer. I'm never going to own a computer. Why am I watching this? So I was always leery to like really get into that stuff. I had started making some more home, some demos at home. And I just always knew that getting into that stuff to do it right, it's an investment of time. You really got to take the time to kind of get in there and figure that stuff out. Watch the YouTube videos. Watch the little stuff that's out there that shows you how to do it. Ask friends. Get humble yourself to ask a buddy or a peer that knows this shit and you don't. So figure it out. Maybe you guys experienced some of that when you were putting together podcasts. You know, like a lot of people that are putting podcasts together are just like shying away from it because they think it's this big technical feat. And to some degree, it is. But it's simple enough that you can kind of just get started and then improve as you go. And tighten the screws, get all your stuff just right. So with the pandemic, of course, it was like I don't have any excuse anymore. I've got to like get in there and let me just sit here and learn about compression. So I did. I started just taking it a little more seriously and giving a fuck, because otherwise, I'm gonna just let someone else do that. It's like, no, I wanna know what I'm listening for. I wanna understand how this works. And every time I make a record, it's the same thing. You go through the mixing process, and you're like, oh yeah, we can do this now, or this is when we do these things that change the sound in this way, and then you get it mastered, and you're like, oh yes, that's right. I gotta go do these things when I'm mixing, so that when we master it, it's been fun and educational along the way. But this time, yeah, again, I say the pandemic, that's how long ago I started on this thing, and initially there was like another two or three or more other songs that I was working on at once. So
you've just been holding on to these songs.
Yeah. I've been holding on to them.
I always find that so amazing when artists tell us that. I've mentioned it before. It's just, I think it's the coolest thing. Like you're just sitting on all these, on these diamonds and it's like, all right, well, I'm gonna go. Here we go. That's awesome.
When Chris has the big news, he can't wait. He's like, can I FaceTime you right now? It needs to come out to the world right away. So the idea
the worst
of
artist.
Holding anything back for years.
Yeah, it does boggle my mind because like some artists could have songs just, from 10 years ago that, that's just like back there on the back burner waiting for the right, release to put that song on there. I'm like Chris in that fact is I want to get it out there, but guess that's what makes the artist, right?
Yeah, man. And it's funny because I recently was reminded of that as well. I don't know if you guys caught wind of my original lyric auction thing that I did a couple months ago. Going through all those songs and literally seeing dates on them and knowing where I was and when I wrote these songs. And it was probably far and away the most prolific period of my solo writing career. Now that I'm in Nashville, I'm co-writing all the time. I've written hundreds of songs. But back then it was different. I was writing from my experiences and I was writing, really firsthand experience and all this stuff. And it was just coming like crazy. And some of those songs wound up on the next record that I made, and some of them didn't show up on records for like three or four more records. And I was like, that is weird, but looking back, I understand why I did it, or at least I recall my intentions as to why I did it. And I, for the most part, still agree with a lot of that didn't belong on that record. It made much more sense on this one. It's kind of a trip. It's an embarrassment of riches, it really is. It's like you said, to be kind of sitting on these things and not feeling like you got to get it out. That's a really cool place to be. That's a nice hand. I'm gonna save this card.
Well, the opening track is appropriate then. Secrets.
Exactly. What's cool is that these are four of the. When I say they, the caveat is the last song, and we'll maybe get to the significance of that one. Talk about waiting on a damn song. But But the others were songs that I had written in Nashville. And one of three things happens after a co-write for me in Nashville, a co-write session. One is, holy shit, we got to get this demoed right away and get this to Blake Shelton, or, you know, like get your publisher to do their damn job and get this song cut, man. This is a fucking banger, you know, just, and you walk out there going like, oh my God, you start spending the money in your head. You start practicing your number one party speech, you know, and you're just like, fuck, we just wrote it, man. There's either that or maybe I'm thinking like, well, there's that, or you walk out of that room knowing you're never going to hear that song again. Like, no one's ever going to play or hear that song again. Damn it. It's an afternoon I'll never get back, you know. But it, those feel like leg day at the gym, you know. Like, you just, oh, you have nothing to show for it, and you're going to be sore as fuck the next day, but you got to do it. But... but the third one is, I would think like, I might have to cut this one. This sounds like a TL song for sure, you know? And I tuck those away. And then every now and then I'd be scrolling through my voice memos and looking at old songs, and I'd see like, oh, what's this one? Secrets. It's like, oh, damn. Yeah, I'm gonna record that one today, you know, and so it's cool because you know, you guys listen to enough music, you know, like, and that when you hear like a strong country song these days, I don't know how much country you guys listen to, but
it's the first, you know, concert I ever went to was a Toby Keith concert.
Oh shit, yeah, man. Oh wow. Yeah. Were you busted up at the news of him passing, man? Was that a rough one?
Yeah, you know, that was kind of it's always one thing to hear that somebody passes away from cancer, but then, like, in your mind, you always remember seeing them for who they were. I had the unique opportunity to actually protect him at one point through the course of my job, him and Brad Paisley and a few other country artists. And so I had the opportunity to meet him. Oh, and Trace Atkins. And he's like this large, huge, yeah, this large, we can talk about it at Rock by the Sea. And, okay. There's a couple stories behind Toby Keith and behind stage, and we can get into that at Rock by the Sea. But so you have this image of him. And then when I saw him playing his last song that he, you know, performed, it was kind of like a kick to the gut. And it's just like, what, as a cancer survivor, and then seeing what it does to people, it's just like, I felt really bad. You know,
Yeah, man. That's tough, man. But the, but yeah, like the country thing, when you hear a good country song or like a, you know, one that hits the top of the charts on a country, you know, it's no accident, you know, like there's elements to it that just, it checks all the boxes, right? It's catchy. It's clever. It's just memorable. You hear it once, and damn, if you don't sing along by the third chorus, like those are country, that's the Nashville country sauce. And it, you know, everyone's trying to get to that each time you go into the room. And like I said, some days you do, and you think there's no way this isn't going to be a number one song kind of thing. but a lot of times, you know, you can imagine the lion's share isn't that so lucky. That's why they call them number ones. You should hear numbers 5,600,232. File that under never to be heard again, you know, like a lot of songs getting written in Nashville, man. And, you know, there's still, there's like this scale, like a color Pentatone color scheme thing, like, you know, country over here, then it just kind of fades through like the color wheel. And there's just this really cool shade of country influenced, Western influenced, Americana influenced singer-songwriter thing where it checks a different row of boxes, you know, and it just there's a bit of freedom there where you don't have to meet the bar isn't so high in terms of the craft work of the songwriting, but what's equally as important is the vibe and the tone and the impact it has when people listen to it, you know. And so I'll end up as a singer songwriter coming from that world, you know, when I go into rights, sometimes they fall shy of that country bar, but they nail the Americana bar, the singer songwriter bar. And those are equally as fulfilling and satisfying to come home from, you know, and you're just like, well, you know, Luke Bryan ain't going to cut that, but shit, I might, and have, you know, be just as exciting. And Secrets was one of them, man. It was just one of those tunes that me and the dude that wrote it just knew it was a vibe, knew it had a thing. And I was, I think, a little more stoked about it than he was. I just was like, man, because in truth, what happened was, I don't know if you guys know Elliot Bronson. Has he hit your radar yet? But
nope,
not yet.
Check him out, man. Elliot Bronson is just so good, so good. And we wrote a song one time. We were paired up to write a song together, and had heard a lot about each other. We got in the room. We didn't know quite what the other, how, trying to feel each other out. And we wrote a good song, but it was neither of our best. And again, one of these songs that neither of us probably ever heard again. But we didn't nail it there, but we nailed the connection. And it was like, all right, I this was a great hang. You know, writing's like 3 or 4 hours of hanging, trying to collaborate on something. And majority of that time is conversation. It's hanging out. It's getting coffee. It's like, you know, playing guitar, talking shop and shit, you know. And if you can get that and a song, man, life is good. And so he and I got together and had a write like that. But we were like, man, let's do it. Let's run this back and try again at some point, you know. So we did again, and he said, well, I got this idea, but I'm just not sure about it, and maybe you can talk me in or out of it. I'm like, okay, what do you got? And he had, for the most part, the first verse in the chorus of the song. And I'm like, for me, that's when the song's as good as written. If you've got a verse and a chorus, and then you just got to rinse, repeat, and maybe throw a bridge in there and guitar solo or something. But, you know, like, yeah, high five after verse chorus, you know. And he, like, then he stops playing. I'm like, seriously? You weren't compelled to finish that? Like, what are you talking? And he's like, yeah, I just don't know. And I'm like, I do. So I just cracked out the freaking paper and started writing it down. And I was like, check this out. And like, we honestly, the whole thing took about an hour and a half once he had half the song written, you know. And it was just like, I was so sure of it. I was just like, man, I could hear the production. I could hear the vibe of that song as soon as, while he was playing it to me, you know, and it was just stunning to me that he didn't, you know, he just was like, I'm not sure about it. And so, but when I sent him the recording, I'm like, man, you remember this song? And he was like, oh my God, dude. Wow. You really like that song. Like, yes, I love that song. Yeah. And so that's always cool. And, you know, a large part of the narrative on this EP is that I did it start to finish on my own, except for the mastering. But, you know, in truth, the songwriting and the stories behind the songs and the co-writers, you know, that you hardly do that alone. It's been cool to, that's been part of my, what I've enjoyed about the Nashville thing is that I can brag about songs that I had a hand in, because like, shit, it's their work too. And I'm fans of them. And so it just makes it easier to appreciate your own work when you had a hand in it, but it's not your baby. And you're like, look how great I am. So yeah, that's been the cool part about some of these songs as well. But the funny thing, and like getting back kind of the idea of like sitting on these songs, right? I'd just been putting it off, and I kept coming back to these songs and deciding like, no, these are the ones that I want to hang on to. And I would go back and revisit the session and make some tweaks and EQ some things once my ears had evolved for months. And, you know, it was a long, slow process. But again, I had never had any timetable, no release calendar. I was just debating about, will I at some point put this record of self-made songs out there or not? I don't know. But what just put the needle over the edge was Carrie Brockwell is the female voice on that recording. And once again, Carrie Brockwell, if you haven't looked her up yet, you guys won't believe this girl. She's
on my list. She's circled.
She's just a damn star, you know, when you see it. I'm as sure of it for her as I was when I met Christina Aguilera at 12 years old. It's like, yeah. Yep, no doubt. Not if, but when. And it would just be hard to imagine that she's not, you know. She's just really wonderful, incredible talent. I met her through Pat McGee at his Down the Hatch thing. He's been a fan of hers and watching her emerge, and she's, you know, climbing away. She did it. She got a golden ticket for Idol, and you know, she's covered some ground. She's got great folks. They're like completely, you know, keeping the corral tight and the warm embrace and the support and good support, like smart support. She's been working with Facchino, Brian Facchino. Oh,
we know that guy.
Who isn't that guy working with these days,
No, I'm so happy for him too, because it's just like he has earned that status, right? So we were doing some work, and he had me come in and play. I wrote a song with her that Facchino produced. And in fact, that was the whole agreement. I said, all right, whatever we write, I want you to produce. And that thing, you know, so you can call me in on the session and I can play keys. So he did exactly that. Her and I wrote this really cool tune that's out right now called Meant to Be, I think. And Facchino produced it. I played keys on it. And I sang backgrounds. I sang harmony on it. And they're getting ready to put it out. It was in her release calendar. And her dad was like, hey, you know, so we were looking at billing this and releasing this. And we're wondering, we debated whether or not we could have you as featuring Tony Luca. And because, you know, you're invested in the song's success, obviously, because you wrote it. So
yeah.
We thought that might be a win-win sort of thing, because your name on it might help. A little more exposure for her on the song. And I was like, let me think that over. Just like, I appreciate you asking. That's really cool. It's considerate, but it's also like, I'm honored. I would be honored. So but let me think it through and I'll get back to you. But thank you. And so kind of mulled it over for a couple of days. And then I was listening to the EP. I was listening to Secrets, and I was like, oh, wait. No, no, you can't put me as featuring Tony Luca. I said, here's why. Because I, as a producer, as an artist, you know, what I did on that record, even though I wrote it and co-wrote it with her, and I sang on it and played keys on it, it doesn't, my performance doesn't rise to the level of featuring. Like, I don't, you know, I didn't sing a verse or the bridge or, you know, nothing like that. And so I said it wouldn't feel right to me. I just don't think it's the right. It's not. It's kind of inaccurate, and she shouldn't do that.
That's that Nashville spirit inside of you, right there. That's that country truth.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. And I said, but what would make sense, and actually I think be a little more effective, is if she sings on my song. And I feature her, and like really feature her, like get her voice on that record, and then say featuring Carrie Brockwell. That way, fans that are all going to come to my music are going to see that and may go to hers, as opposed to some of my fans maybe going to her music and, you know, seeing my name on there and or whatever. Just I think there'd be more exposure if we featured it the other way. That's all. And so, and I said, yeah, man, I think that's what we need to do. if next time you guys are in Nashville, she can come by and I can record the vocal on it. Then, yeah, cause I'm going to put that out soon. And, that could, and as I'm telling him this stuff in the back of my head, I'm like, fuck, I gotta finish this EP. I'm getting off the pot, you know? And so really that's what was going on. And that was what brought it about. I'm like, all right, damn it. Now I have a deadline. I've got to make this happen. And then I looked at the calendar. I'm like, Rock by the Sea. Let's shoot for a goal to get this thing finished in the can and distributed so that it can drop the week before Rock by the Sea, so that, you know, I can tell everyone I have a brand new record out. And so, yeah, that was the catalyst, was getting Kerry Brockwell to sing on Secrets that was the catalyst to get the rest of the project finished.
It's, I wish the date could come fast enough for those who are huge fans of you and all you do, because it is a heater, and it is, again, we are so blessed that you shared it with us, and it's going to be amazing. And not only that, to see it live to hear some of the songs Rock by the Sea. I mean, that's it's like a double bonus. I'm pretty stoked about it.
Thanks, man. Thank you. It is cool. And then, same thing, getting Megan to sing on Still. You know, Megan Farrell is on Still. And that was a similar thing. I hired her to sing on a demo of a song I wrote for a custom song that I wrote for a female fan friend of mine. And sometimes, like, if you think it's for a female, a male vocal, it might still work either way, right? But this song is called This Girl, and it's sung first person narrative about a girl and her,
makes sense. That's right.
Yeah. Her perseverance. It's adorable when I do it, but it's not gonna it's not gonna convince Miranda Lambert's publisher that she should cut this song, you know. So I wanted to get a female voice on this, and you know, Megan's not country, but she sounds close enough. And all she's got to do is add a little more twang and country grit. And it's country, you know, it's country enough for sure. And so I had her come over to do that. And she was super cool and banged it out pretty quickly. It wasn't too much to it. And I didn't want to beat her up. It's just a demo, you know. But I said, hey, so still got a little time. You want to take a swing at Still? And she was like, are you recording it? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my God, please. I was like, all right. So we crack out that session and we pull it up. And she just like, I said, do you want to hear it first? She goes, no, just give me the headphones. And she's like, she just knew exactly what to do, because we played the song a million times together, you know? And we both sat there like kind of tears in the corner. I was like, just listening to the record. Like it wasn't, I didn't have to comp it. You know, I mean, I did a few passes and comp some stuff, because again, I didn't want to have her spend all day on it, but she didn't have to, you know? And so, that was really, really cool to, finally get that mixed and check that one up. I think that was probably the first one that I was like, this one's done. That's going to be great to see her and get to play that song again with her now that it'll be in the world, you know?
So cool.
Mm-hmm. It's
you said there was a different story about track 5, Morning Sunrise.
Yeah, man, that's the song that arguably has made all of my songs possible. that's the song my dad wrote for my mom. After they met, speaking of the beach, in Daytona in 1973. And he wrote this song. He was from New York, she was from Michigan, and they meet Daytona Beach, spring break, and he goes back to, they just fall in love, madly in love. And he goes back to New York, and she goes back to Michigan, and they're like, spring fling, it's not gonna work. My mom was kind of in that camp, and my dad was just mad about her. And he writes this song, his first song he ever wrote, the only song he ever wrote. And I learned a lot about this song since putting it on the record. I shared it with my mom and dad. They're celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this year. And instead of writing a custom song for them, which I could and probably should still have done and been able to do, it's, you only have your 50th wedding anniversary once. And but I said, no, actually, what would I think be cooler would be to give my dad's song its day in the sun, you know, and give him a proper recording of it. And so that's what I did instead. And when I gave it to him on their anniversary, you know, the memories just came pouring back and they just were both really emotional. And my mom told me that apparently back in the day when you couldn't like make a video of something and send it via text, you know, and, you know, no way of recording and getting it in the mail, whatever. He had asked her to come out to New York to see him and visit whatever with a friend. And she's like, no, I'm not going to be able to come. And he said, oh, come on. He'd been telling her about the song he wrote her, and he didn't play it to her over the phone, but he's like, you should come, you know, if you don't come to New York, I guess you're not going to get to hear the song. And literally, I'm like, really? That's the best he had? You know, she said, damn it, I took the bait and I had to hear this song. And so to finally come full circle and hear the song again is really something. It was one of the first songs that I ever learned to play on the guitar when I was like 8, 9 years old on my dad's Martin that I used to record it with, which was, you know, really full circle emotional shit, you know. But yeah, that song has been living rent free in my brain for 40 years. And wow. I never play it out live. I haven't played it in like 30 years, you know. But I cracked out. I went for the guitar case that has my dad's guitar in it, and I haven't opened that case or played that guitar in a really long time. It's a vintage 73 Martin, and you know, unless I'm really recording something that I think it has the perfect tone for, I just don't crack it out. I used to tour with it and it got beat up with the airlines enough, and it's a you know, it's a relic, man. And so I grabbed the guitar and it's still perfectly in tune. And I just set the mic right in front of it, and I listen, like, yep, push record, play the song straight through, you know, like just, and it was just a lot of fun from there, you know, to kind of just build this song out, and like, you know, my dad's biggest concern about it and his insecurity about the song when he was younger was that it was very mundane. The part was so basic, the guitar part was so basic that he just thought the song always needed a little more something that he was never capable of bringing to it as a guitar player. So when he finally heard this orchestration with the piano and all these other sounds and things, you know, he just was so touched by it. It was just like, wow, man, you really can't believe you can hear all that stuff. Because to him, it was always just this little boring, you know, sophomore love song that he wrote when he was a young lad.
I love hearing the stories behind the songs. Yeah. I feel like I'm fanboying right now.
Right. Yeah. You know what's really funny, though, is like, I have two friends that have heard it now as well. And one of them is a producer friend of mine, my buddy Mike Vizcara, who I made Come Around Again with. And he's actually someone I handed the keys over to produce me one time on a covers record that I made Under the Influence, you guys might have heard. But he and I co-wrote Foxy Jane, Giving It All Away, Father Time. We worked together quite a bit for a while there. He's got a really discerning ear, and he's quick to call something bullshit, cotton candy, or like be critical of something. Like he's got a critic bias, you know, he's going to shoot holes through everything before he ever praises anything. And, but I got over that fear of like sharing shit with him that he didn't have a hand in making, you know. And but because if he digs it, either way, he's gonna be proud of where I'm at, what I'm doing. But I sent it to him, and I sent him the EP, and I gave him enough time to kind of listen down. He said, "All right, I'm got it listening," and so I gave him some time, and then I said something about, "Oh yeah, by the way, you know, track 5 is the song my dad wrote for my mom," and he texts back. He said, "Funny, I was about to tell you, Morning Sunrise is my favorite." And I was like, "Dad,
yeah, that's so funny,
Dad for the win, man!" You know, and then
yes,
and then another friend of mine who's more like in the one of my, I would call her, I mean, she's a dear friend for a lot of years, but she's like one of my personal growth and development closies, you know, where we can talk on the spiritual front and on the metaphysical front, and like just someone who's been doing the work for a long time, and she's just like a spiritual touch point for me and my wife, and I shared it with her. And she, similar thing, she said that she was raving about Morning Sunrise and the, you know, sort of the vibe of it, you know, and I was just like, again, you know, I'm so touched and I'm so happy to hear that. And just like, again, I just want to give my dad another high five. You know, it's pretty cool.
Tony, this is awesome that you, have found time to chat with us about the history behind these songs and the process in which it takes and took you to put out this beautiful EP that's available April 26th, anywhere you stream. I would encourage everyone to download it, stream it, share it, show up to Rock by the Sea, buy a ticket to get there, rockbythesea.org, so you can see them play it live. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited. And I'm excited for what this EP holds for you and your future. And I think it's a perfect EP time for it to come out at an event like Rock by the Sea. There's just so much love behind it. It's such an event where it's just all supported by lovers of music. And I can't say anymore.
Thanks, man. It's cool. I also, one of the little reason as to why I kind of wanted to get cooking on this is Brett Young is pretty gracious with his show, and he likes to feature the band because he's got a band of Avengers, and it's pretty cool, you know, to be amongst an ensemble of cats that can really bring it, you know. But we've been doing an acoustic set in the middle of his headlining set. So whenever he's headlining, has a 90-minute set, we do this little acoustic thing where we would all play a verse and a chorus of a song, and I'd play one, and then Justin Young would play, and then Keaton would play, and he just really, really glows us up, you know, for that, and it's cool. But so we did a song. I did Pretty Things, verse and chorus of Pretty Things, most of last year. And this year with the new tour, we decided to, like, we're going to switch it up. Everyone's going to play something different. And I said, okay, well, unless Brett has something specific he wants to hear each night, are you down if I play this new song? It's the title track of my new EP called Still. And he's like, dude, totally. So now if you go to a Brett Young show and you've never heard of me before, I'm going to play a verse and a chorus of a song called
That's
Still.
That's so cool.
It will be the first thing that pops up when you jump on Spotify, and it'll say Still, and you can't miss it.
That is awesome.
So I was like, yeah, maybe, let me see here. how can I promote without promoting? So thank you guys for, just embracing the inside scoop and being so kind to promote it amongst our friends and family here. It's so cool.
Heck yeah.
We will be listening to this one on the way down, on the way back, and can't wait to hear it live.
Cool, man. Well, thank you guys again so much.
Heck yeah. And we'll see you in about 12 days.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Can't wait,
safe
man.
Travels.
All right.
See you soon.
It's only 12 days, man.
I know. 12. Take care. 12 more sleeps, huh?
12 more sleeps.
Chris won't sleep the night before. He's going to be that excited. So yeah. 11 for Chris.
It's 11 sleeps. I'll drink the whole night the night before, so it's actually like 10.
So. There you go.
Cool. All right, brother. We'll see you down there.
Can't wait,
take care, Tony.
See you guys.